he doesn't look like he's having a good time. Harry must be gutted because he's now further down, 55 Red Bulls. When I'm 70, that would be my last fridge freezer. Life and death are the same thing. Only death lasts a lot longer.
10 Uosity.
Welcome to 10 Uosity with me, Ronnie Barber, and hallelujah, the new royal baby's been born, and it's a girl.
Yeah.
And it gives me the chance to just look at Nicholas Witchell again and again. Now, there's a man, right, we've talked about Witchell before. He doesn't look like he's having a good time.
No, he doesn't.
And he looks like he thinks he is royal. He only gets to cover the royal events. There must be is there another royal reporter in the offing?
Well, like an heir to Nicholas Witchell's throne.
Yeah, there should be.
Second in line.
The second in line to him. Jenny Bond, if you remember, used to be the royal correspondent, and then she jumped ship to go and actually be on cruise ships. She advertised cruise ships.
Yeah.
But
and he was always her sort of second in command.
Well, actually, no, because he did other things. He did war. He covered, I think he even covered Iraq in its early days. So it must have come up internally. You can imagine it on the notice board in BBC. Royal correspondent, internal applicants only.
Yeah. Well, because no one else wants it.
Nobody else would want it.
No.
There must be somebody that went. Does he, Nicholas Witchell, does he have to take his holidays in line with what's happening with the royal correspondents or the royal
family?
Well,
presumably he hasn't been allowed a day off for a while.
Can't
recently.
Because he's had to wait.
Because he's just waiting on a baby.
The pictures this morning were definitely of, there's more paparazzi there than people.
Yeah.
There's the guy that turns up in the Union Jack stuff.
Yeah.
There's the town crier guy.
Yeah.
Who has going, oh yay, a royal baby is born today.
Yeah.
If you want to be multicultural Britain, that should have been a wrap.
Right, yeah.
Hey everybody, today is true. A royal baby has been born to View.
View.
That's it.
Yeah.
Anyway, be a bit very rappy.
Yeah.
But if they go back to the original point, and Witchell won't be the only one to be looking over his shoulder. Harry must be gutted because he's now further down.
Yeah, he's down the pecking order. Every time she has a baby,
yeah,
he gets a demotion.
Yeah, so it but maybe he wants that.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of if they, let's say they all sit one day, William's the king.
Yeah,
and they all sit for a big photo.
Yes,
and then the king's in the middle on the throne.
Yeah,
his queen's next to him. George is the other side. New babies with them. How far down does Harry sit? Is he like across the other side of the room next to the uncles and aunties?
He probably gets a wee table with the kids.
Yeah.
You know, at Christmas.
Yeah, a wedding or something.
Yeah, he'll sit with the kids.
Yeah.
Because he'd be good with the kids, Harry.
Well, he would, in one of those little chairs.
Yeah, the little chairs.
Not give him a big chair.
No, he'd be with the little kids.
Yeah.
Bless him.
Tenuosity.
An election fever doesn't grip Britain. By the time this goes out, we're one day away. We'll probably put this out Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
So Thursday, by Friday, by the time we record the next one, we'll maybe have a new government.
Yeah. We might have a new government that still has Nick Clegg in it.
Yeah.
We might have a new government that's got Nicholas Sturgeon
in it.
We might have a, who knows, UKIP might be in this.
UKIP, SDLP, not SDLP, Unionists.
Yeah.
But there's a whole lot of stuff. And I think it's still up to the party that's got the biggest number where can go and ask the Queen, or ask the former government. And if they can't, then I think that's when at the moment, it looks like the Labour Party are going to be the ones that will get the call. Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, did she phone them up? Did she text them?
I think she says,
hello.
Ed.
Yes, I have a country to rule.
Get your backside over here.
But what has got me, the final debate, question time, Dimbleby was...
Feisty.
Hey, Dimbleby was on it. He must have been at 55 Red Bulls before he did.
Do you reckon that's his
rider?
He
was so excited. Even the trails that are going out at the moment for the BBC, it's got him to... This is the most, closest to call thing. And it cuts to the blonde newsreader.
Sophie Rayworth.
Yeah, and it cuts to... Big red face, Andrew Neil.
Yeah.
And I'll be asking the questions and kneeing him in the nuts.
Yeah.
And he does.
Did he say that?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. I have enjoyed, on that point, I have enjoyed trail wars.
Yes.
When there's a big event like this, you flick around Sky News and you flick around BBC and ITV and everything. And there is a sense of, we're doing this bigger and better than anyone ever has. I wonder how long before it turns into just a trailer for Total Wipeout.
Yes. Or why don't they just do the word election like a great big penis?
So this is Musselburgh, and it's a street. And it's a street full of people, all ages, media, party activists. And they're waiting for Nicola Sturgeon to turn up and do a wee thing here for half an hour or so. You have to say, the contrast of campaigns does rather strike you. I would lay good money that when Ed Miliband comes to Glasgow tonight, he'll not be on a street.
Because that's what it's about. My torch is bigger than yours.
Yeah.
And that's really...
That is what they're saying. We'll go for longer.
We'll go for longer.
We'll be bigger.
Bigger.
We'll caress you while you watch.
And you will be satisfied...
At the end of it.
Come the early breakfast show. But another thing that's coming out of this is question gate. People being planted. They have to do this research, the audience, to get a balanced audience.
Yeah.
And apparently the last one, there was a woman in there that gave... Miliband got a bit of a roasting. I thought Miliband looked all right, but Miliband got a bit of roasting. It turns out this woman was one of the signatories to the 5,000 small businesses. Her husband, I think, up for re-election as a Tory MP. So it's all that. But the other thing that came out about it, which I thought was interesting, is it was said out that nobody trusts politicians.
Yeah.
Nobody trusts them. Miliband saying, I'm not going to get in bed with Nicola Sturgeon. Leave that image for a second. Move on. The Tories are not going to do a deal with UKIP. Well, they could do a deal anyway. And nobody's saying it outright. Nobody's trusting politicians. And it came out, you're lying to us.
Mm.
And I think that's not a bad situation. I think it's good. If they're just up front about lying, then good, we can move on. And the person that tells the best lies and convinces us, that lie
will
be better.
The best liar wins.
Tenuosity.
Oh, the other thing I want to get rid of is Vox Pops. I'm fed up of seeing ordinary people changing their mind. And everybody's changed their mind, and it's happening. But it's this idea. Somebody should tell news people, if your only way of getting an item is to do vox pops of the public on the street, then you've run out of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
A last resort.
It is.
But what I really like, I love, is they find celebrity vox pops.
That would be good.
Wouldn't it?
So they go from, David Beckham.
Beckham.
To Joey Essex.
Joey Essex.
To Stacey Solomon.
Yeah.
To Cilla Black.
To Tony Blair.
To Tony Blair.
They bump into Tony Blair, who's desperate trying to get exposure.
See, the thing, you mentioned Tony Blair there. Do you think ex-prime ministers always vote for the party they used to lead? Do you think that's definitely always the case? Or do you reckon there's ever been, Gordon Brown?
Gordon Brown. Right. Gordon's retired.
Yes, he has. But this time round, with his vote, do you think he's going to go, I'm going to vote for Ed.
Tenuosity.
When you go into the voting booth, it's exciting, isn't it? Because I think we live.
In what way?
That you feel as if you, for just a second, you've got power. And then you walk out and you realise you've got no power.
Yeah.
But locally, we've got council elections, so we can vote for, you know, local elections. Here they're talking about UKIP doing brilliantly as councils, and the Tories will probably get back in. I was talking to a newspaper editor, and he's saying that the UKIP councils do all right.
Really?
The councils do try to change things. Oh. They're quite effective. Apparently, that's what he was saying. I mean, he's a guy that knows.
They only collect British waste.
Yeah. Yes, it's, you know, it's not imported. Anything that's made in Thailand or Iceland,
yeah,
they don't pick up.
Yeah. Even Iceland.
Well, unless it comes from...
From Iceland.
Iceland.
Tenuosity.
Buy some of the Green Party. You know, the chap we've got is a fella who looks like... looks a bit like what Bill Oddie will look like in 10 years.
Not just Bill Oddie. Bill Oddie in 10 years. All right, okay. Yeah.
But it's exciting times. And I was going to write to the Queen about this, that we should make it... The one thing we learned from the Scottish referendum... was everybody likes the yes-no vote.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, they
do. It's dead simple. Do you want Scotland to be an independent country? Yes or no? We should then do it the same way. Do you want David Cameron to be the Prime Minister of Great Britain? Yes or no? And if it's no...
So you think multiple choice?
Multiple choice.
Well, they're always better exams. You know,
there's never a wrong answer.
No, there isn't technically. That is right.
Yeah. You know, well, there is actually.
So you would say, let's say, do you want David Cameron to be Prime Minister? If you were to say no, and then you go, well, who do you want then?
No, you carry on then, you go down to, do you want David Miliband to be Prime Minister? Yes.
David,
oh, did I say David Miliband?
A lot of people do that, yeah. And they still do that, and I think that's one of his problems still.
Yeah. But, you know, and then you move down. And so you get, all the yes, anybody, the most yes is to be Prime Minister,
yeah.
Stays.
So you basically just have the choice of all the main party leaders. But if you say no to all of them, what happens then? Does it like say, well, do you want to be Prime Minister?
Then that's when we bring in the military junta.
Right.
Junta.
I think it's junta, yeah. It's not junta.
Junta, junta. Well, I think
let's call the whole thing off.
Tenuosity.
I'm really gutted this week as well, because I see the life expectancy for men in the UK by the year 2030 is going to be 85.7 years. Men are going to be, you know, most of the country, apart from
good.
Other. 85. I mean, I've planned for 70, maybe 75.
Right. So life, the scientists are ruining your plans.
The whole thing. Look, when I'm buying electrical white goods now, and I'm thinking, is this the last one? You do.
Right.
Well, it's the same with cars. If you buy a car, you think, okay, if I keep this car for 6 years, no, I'll probably have another car.
Yeah.
So how many, is it three cars?
When you're in Currys buying a fridge,
you think
death is a real part of
we're great with fridges. We keep fridges. My fridge freezer is probably 12 years old. So I could feasibly, if I'm 57 just now, I could have by the year, you know, when I'm 70, that would be my last fridge freezer.
Right.
And I now can negotiate with Currys and say, look, this is probably my last one.
Well, so when, role play again, let's do this. Hello, sir. I see you looking at the fridge freezers.
It's a very nice one. And
well, that one's actually got all the kind of mod cons.
Can
it's
I
got
just,
a nice
can
tray.
Can I just stop you there?
Yeah, sorry. Go on.
This is going to be my last fridge freezer.
Okay. Well, you want to get a good one then?
Yeah.
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 Why?
Because I won't. This will be the last one before I.
But what if it breaks?
Pop the clogs.
What do you mean?
When I kick the bucket.
What?
Gotta go to the mortal coil. Go to heaven.
When
I die.
Right, okay.
So this, and I was wondering.
If it is your last one.
Yes.
You probably don't want the one that's 599. You probably want the one that's 799.
Really?
Really.
I was hoping for the...
You're a man staring down the barrel of death.
Yes, I am. I'm looking right down it.
Why not go into death with a really nice fridge freezer?
You know what? That's a great idea.
Get the one with the ice tray and the Wi-Fi.
Yeah. and the commode.
10 UR City.
And that's the other thing about death, is that you start thinking about arrangements for your funeral.
Right.
It's
gone very morbid.
This is the good stuff. You get to plan it. Why is it cold, by the way? I didn't have a look around a funeral home, but they have funeral parlours.
Right.
It's not a funeral room or a funeral office. It's a funeral parlour where the body lies in rest. And we talked about lying.
We did.
But you lie in rest. It's a long rest, isn't it?
It's the longest one.
But it's a funeral parlour.
Well, the parlour, isn't that a thing that they used to call
front
something
room?
In between a bar and a club? Didn't they? That was a snug.
They don't have funeral snugs, though maybe they should. Come into the funeral snug.
Bean bag. Why not have one of the floor cushions?
But the funeral parlour, it goes back to the old days. You used to come into the parlour and it was like a front room thing.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't seem the right name for a place where the coffin will be.
So would you rather have a funeral sort of... if it was based on the front room, what would you rather have? The funeral bedroom or the funeral room?
What about the funeral conservatory? Right, the conservatory, plenty of light, very airy, with a nice lookout into the garden.
Might be an issue when the sun shines through.
Yeah, true, good point. Yeah, it might be just a wee bit too hot. But I think in this room, I'd put widescreen telly, maybe a little corner bar.
For who?
For the people come to pay their respects.
Oh, right, yeah.
Pay their respects.
Yeah.
It is very morbid. But it's part of life. Life and death are the same thing. Only death lasts a lot longer.
Well, that's a very insightful comment.
Yes, it does. Unless you come back in another life.
And you would... want to come back as what?
I'd probably come back as a vet.
So not a different thing.
No, I want to come back.
Not like an eagle.
No.
Or a lion.
I want to come back as a vet.
You want to come back as yourself, but a vet.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do that.
Yeah, you can.
You could train as a vet.
In the afterlife, there is a vet school.
Is there, right?
But I want to
run
come back.
By St. Peter or one of the other apostles?
I don't know which one liked the pets.
Was there one that liked pets?
I don't know if there's a patron saint of pets. But I would, because the great thing about being a vet is you can say to the patient, the owner, I'm going to give it, because the dog's in pain, right? I'm going to give it these, that's £495. And they don't, then they go, okay, well.
Yeah, you did.
And it will help.
Could be Skittles.
It's either that or come back. I'd like to come back as somebody who owns a multi-story car park that doesn't give you change.
I have a feeling you kind of miss the point with reincarnation is that the point is that if you're good in this life, you'll be reincarnated in a better life. But you've missed the point because you're not shooting high enough.
No, I think I'm shooting very
high. You're going for vet park owner.
I'm asking God to structure my afterlife so that when I come back, at the moment, I think God is doing the whole kind of, he's not thinking clearly about if people are reincarnated, right? Come back as an animal or something. No, you should be able to say to God, can I retrain and can I do this?
So reincarnation isn't so much of a rebirth, it's more of a sort of career change.
Yes, career change. Ever been breathalyzed?
No.
If you want to go and see Cambridge United, and we're recording this on a Saturday, if we wanted to go and see the game...
Today?
Yeah, and we wanted to go for a beer, there's half a chance if we look like we've had too much, you'd be breathalyzed. They're going to breathalyze people at Cambridge United. It's a trial thing.
Right.
So stewards at the Abbey Stadium were presented with breathalyzer devices called alcoblows, which
I mean, they could make it sound less like they got it from Ann Summers.
Well, I've been to some games, and if you said to a guy, "You want an alcoblow?"
Well, yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Why not?
The wife's at home.
Can I just go and get some crisps? It'll be used to measure whether fans are too drunk to be allowed entry. Mm. Now, you and I know, we've been to see Cambridge United and they have their good days and their bad days. And on the good days, it's fine. But, you know, when they're playing bad, you really need to be drunk.
Yeah, you do. There's something about a smaller ground like Cambridge or you know, any of those leagues that being standing up among all these men in the terraces, it's good to be drunk.
Yep.
Because
not that you can't stand up, but they're going to. But this reminds me of the time that I was at a play in London. Because the other thing about people who have had a bit too much to drink, they usually come up with good banter.
Yeah.
And the chants and everything are really good. But I ended up, is this going to be the start of breathalyzing other public places? Like if you want to go to the theatre.
Well, that scheme. They're actually also going to breathalyze anyone going to McDonald's tonight.
No, they're not.
Swear on my life, that's what they're doing.
So if you're going to McDonald's before you can...
if you go into McDonald's in the centre of Cambridge and you look a bit drunk, they won't give you a McFlurry if you're too drunk.
They won't give you... food
or chicken nuggets.
But surely that's a good idea, you know, to soak up the drink.
No, it just means you're too drunk. You can't be in there. Get out.
But if you're going to go to other things, like the ballet, because this is working class, isn't it? This is just victimising working class. But what about you go to the ballet or the theatre? I went to a theatre performance once in London and the play was absolutely rubbish. And the best bit about it was a drunk at the back of the place heckled one of the main characters, a bit like a pantomime.
Right.
So whatever, and it was a serious play. It was one of those kind of...
one of those sort of Waiting for Godot
kind of things. Yeah. And this guy didn't really like him. I don't know where he didn't like the actor or the character.
Right.
But every time he came on, he booed like a pantomime.
There isn't enough gratuitous booing in life. It's kind of confined to certain places, isn't it?
You
can boo at a pantomime, you can boo at a football match, you could probably get away with booing at a rugby match, but it's not the kind of thing. But you couldn't ever boo at like a lecture.
Well, you should be able to at a lecture. But I've often thought when you're at the church.
What, the minister?
The minister's, you're just boring, you know.
Yeah.
He says, and he's done 20 minutes and he says, I'll return to that later on. You go, no, you've done 20 minutes. You might even mean later on. I mean, later on, that means another 20 minutes and then you'll return to it. So that could be 40 minutes, could be an hour sermon. That's when you should be able to boo.
Yeah. And it was in this time that...
Get off!
Tenuosity.